guys, yeah, but you can't do more than one YouTube channel at once. You might be able to, but I can do it from my phone. But I can't connect the mic. I can't connect up the mic. For some reason, it doesn't work with the software.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you have to have like 1,000 subscribers to run this stream.
Not here. Yeah. But with this, I get around that. Yeah. It works for us.
It's pretty cool. How weird was this?
Yeah, I don't know. That's really cool though. Alright, welcome back. If you please stand with me as we sing hymn number 363, Wonderful Words of Life, again. Hopefully you still have the hymnal or you can go to the website. It's on there. 363. So much for this great day that we've had, a time of fellowship, time of preaching, and we're just so thankful to be able to gather like this. Pray that you'd continue to fill this place with your spirit, you'd lay your spirit on Pastor Thompson. He's going to preach to us shortly, and everything done here would please you and bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's go to 369. I Know the Bible is True, hymn number 369. Thank you. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. It's great to have everybody here from, I know, some people came really far. We didn't come that far. But we had to cross a border, and you all didn't. So there you go. But it's great to have everybody here. Possibly the first of many, or at least maybe the first of two or three, depending on how long all this lockdown stuff goes, anti-vaccination stuff goes. But it's great to have everybody here. Obviously, this is our PM service. Afterwards, we're going to have a little bit of time of fellowship, but we do need to clean this place up. So there's a lot of food everywhere. So if you got to leave, that's fine. But if you can stay and help clean up, we have to put this place back the way it was. And there's a bunch of cleaning equipment, I think, in there, right? Did he show it to you?
I'm pretty sure.
We've got all the cleaning equipment and everything. So we just need to leave this place the way we found it. So that's going to be afterwards. Other than that, no real announcements to come. So after you get that little brief rest, why don't you stand up again? Let's sing hymn number 370, Throw Out the Lifeline. 370. Work for the night is coming. Amen. You may be seated. You can turn to Matthew chapter 12 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, the Bible reads, starting in verse 1. Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered? And they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then said he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my well-beloved, in whom my soul is well-pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is this not the Son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I be by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bring forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Then men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came. And when he is gone, when he is come, he findeth it empty, and empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in that dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for gathering us here today. I pray that you would fill Brother Pastor Thompson with your spirit as he preaches us your word, and that we would hear and understand and take these words to heart. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're in Matthew chapter number 12. The title of the sermon this afternoon is Why Desmond Tutu is Burning in Hell.
Amen.
Why Desmond Tutu is Burning in Hell. Yeah, I told you it's going to be a little hot today. Anyway, so who knows who Desmond Tutu actually is? Raise your hand. Who does not have any idea and has never heard of him? Okay, good. All right, good mix of both Canadians and Americans. All right, no, I'm just kidding. So anyway, I'm preaching against this man, Desmond Tutu. He died about, I think, 3 weeks ago it's been now, and people are just like harassing me about it and saying, like, when are you going to preach a sermon? Because I kind of preach some sermons about people roasting in hell. And like, look, I'm not happy that anybody goes to hell, okay? There was a time when God would have been happy for Desmond Tutu to go to heaven.
Right.
But then that time become, like, people push the line with God, and they go so far that he rejects them, and they become reprobates.
Yeah.
So at that point in time, then you know that God is, that they are going to hell. There's nothing that's going to change that. Nothing's going to stop that.
Yeah.
And so we shouldn't be upset about preaching about things like this,
right,
because it's just a fact. Right. And you know what? The contemporary false prophets of their days should be preached against. And so people know that this person wasn't a good person. Right. See, people around the world are mourning for Desmond Tutu. Like, oh, poor Desmond. He's died. Now he's gone to heaven. No, he hasn't gone to heaven. And there's some things I'm going to show you today that will prove to you that he is not going to heaven. But hey, even if you don't know who he is, just take this as a sermon against false prophets. Any false prophet, all right? All false prophets will go to hell.
Amen.
All false prophets will go to hell.
Right.
There's not one that can be saved.
Yeah.
They're false prophets. They are going to hell. There's nothing that's going to change that. They're the worst people on the planet. They're the worst scum on the face of the earth.
Amen.
They send people to hell in droves. There's nothing good about them. There's no redeeming quality about them.
Right.
They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are coming in to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's what false prophets do. And God takes no pleasure in them. They are going to go to hell, and there's nothing they can do about it. So you can just take the, if you don't know who Desmond Tutu is and you don't care, that's fine. I don't really care anymore either, because he's in hell. But I do want people to understand that he was a person that's, you know, he was revered by the world. And usually when someone is a prophet that's revered by the world, that person is a false prophet. Take Billy Graham, for instance. False prophet.
Amen.
You know, Mother Teresa. False prophet.
Amen.
She's in hell too.
Yeah.
And look, like I said, I don't take pleasure in that. But you know what? People say, well, you're not God. You have no right to judge that. Well, you know what? The Bible judges it, though. And the Bible tells us who's going to hell and who's not.
Right.
Now, are there people that are on their way to hell that can be saved? Absolutely. Everybody in this room was one of those people.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Once they cross the line, and yes, there is a point, a deadline that you can cross where you're no longer able to be saved. And that's the problem, is that people will probably say, well, how do you know Desmond Tutu on his deathbed dying of prostate cancer didn't just turn to the Lord? Because he's a false prophet.
Amen.
He's not going to turn to the Lord.
Right.
All right. So now, who is Desmond Tutu? Well, he was the Archbishop of the Anglican Church in South Africa. Now, South Africa is not exactly the most godly country you've ever heard of. Now, the continent of Africa has many different countries in it. And South Africa is the only country that allows and promotes sodomy in the whole continent of Africa that I know of. So South Africa is like the San Francisco of Africa, all right? It's the queer capital of Africa. And I have good friends that are in South Africa, and they'll tell you the truth just as well as I will. I've never actually been there before, but I take them at their word that it's the rape capital of the world. And it, sodomy is promoted there heavily. When Pastor Anderson went there, I don't know, it's been like 4 years, 5 years ago now, the United States made a radio station called Gay SA Radio and paid them to just start this radio station so that they could shut down Faith Forward Baptist Church from being allowed to preach there. Pastor Anderson was deported. A whole bunch of other people were deported. I was on the list of people that was not allowed in the country, along with several others. I don't know if I'm still on that list or not. But, you know, that's fine, whatever. But this is how, so how is it that South Africa was the only sodomite-friendly country in Africa? Do you think it might have to do with something with that Desmond Tutu promoted homosexuality for years? He died when he was 90. And he was a big promoter of sodomy. And obviously, South Africa had some problems with, you know, racism and things like that. And he was part of the apartheid movement where he was trying to stop apartheid. Which, you know, I agree. Stopping racism, you know, I think it's a great thing to do. You know, and I'm going to get into that also. But I'll get into that here in a little bit. But, you know, it speaks volumes to me that South Africa is such a wicked nation right now. It's not just rape. It's not just sodomy. It's just violence. It's filled with violence. If you get a flat tire, you're in trouble in South Africa. You could get killed for everything that you have. It's very violent. And you know, I believe that Desmond Tutu's spiritual influence on that place was a detriment to that nation. Now, you're like, well, how do you know Desmond Tutu's in hell? Well, number one, okay, he's an Anglican.
Yeah.
Okay, are Anglicans saved?
No.
Why not? Yeah, they're a works-based salvation. They're basically, Henry VIII wanted to divorce his wife. And so he said, well, you know what I'll do? I'll just make my own denomination. It's called Anglican, the Church of England. And so he basically used that to divorce his wife and then, you know, started the Anglican Church. So basically it's like Catholic without the Pope. So they just got rid of the Pope and the king was the head of the Anglican Church. And still today in England, the king is still the head over the Church of England to this day. And the Anglicans are dug in like ticks over there. And they're, you know, they're a bunch of filth and trash. But here's the thing. Desmond Tutu was so liberal that he made the Anglicans look conservative. Okay? And that's hard to do. But the number one reason why Desmond Tutu's burning in hell is because he didn't believe in Jesus. He just did not believe in Jesus. Like, how do you know? He was an archbishop of this church or whatever. Yeah, but people say all manner of things. False prophets have always tried to say that they're, you know, when they prophesied in Jeremiah's time, they're prophesying the exact opposite of what God was telling Jeremiah to say. They said they were prophets too, but they were false, weren't they? Now look down in your text at Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. And you know what? At the end of the sermon, I'm going to explain why I preach sermons like this, because sometimes people criticize me and I hear the criticism where they're like, well, I didn't come to church to hear somebody telling me that so-and-so is roasting in hell. Well, you know what? You're not going to hear it in any other church. I can tell you that right now. And it needs to be said. It needs to be preached. And there's as a pastor, I'm supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, not just the things that tickle your fancy. You know, if your toes never get stepped on in church, then you're not in a good church.
Right.
If nobody ever preaches against your sin, you know, eventually you spin the wheel and it's going to come up.
Yeah, right.
You know, the pastor's going to preach on something that hits home and you're like, ooh, you get all upset and you go home and look, just take it in. And if you don't like the sermon, then just take in the parts that you can use. Mm-hmm. All right. Because it's the word of God.
Yeah.
I'm not just like preaching something out of context. This is totally in context to false prophets, which is what Desmond Tutu was. Look at verse number 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's going to say, your mouth is going to say what you believe. What do we do? Do we deem somebody saved if they are wearing a cross, a Flavor Flav cross when they open the door? No. You know, they look holy. Maybe they're wearing a Catholic robe or something when they answer the door. Does that make you think they're saved? No, it's what they say out of their mouth.
Yep.
What are they telling you that it takes to be saved?
Yep.
I'm a good person. I've done many wonderful works. You know, I do this and I do that for my church. That's what a lot of people will say, but look what it says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now, think about this verse, and I'm going to tell you some of the things that he said later on in this sermon, and think back to what he said with his mouth, what he actually believes. Look at verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, let me just tell you this also. We're not going to be judged in this room. People in this room are not going to have some judgment in front of Christ except for the judgment seat of Christ, which he's going to deem, you know, he's going to judge our works in this world and give us rewards. But we're not going to be judged by the sins that we've committed in this life. So this is specifically talking about people that are going to hell, all right? For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So that's why we ask people what they believe at the door. We ask them, what do you think it takes to be saved? And then based on their answer, we proceed. Right. Well, if they say, well, you just have to believe in Jesus. And we go, well, if you believe in Jesus and you did something really bad or you sinned a great sin, would you still go to heaven? Yes or no, your decision tree moves forward with what they say.
Yeah, right.
If they say, yes, you could lose it, then we know they're not saved.
Right.
If they say, no, you can't lose it, then we know that they believe in eternal security.
Yeah,
you can't lose it.
Right.
So now turn to John chapter 3, verse 15. Why is the first point is he didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Desmond Tutu did not believe in Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 15. What does the Bible say you have to do to be saved? Well, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So anybody that does not believe this way, or where are they going?
Hell.
They're going to hell. If they don't believe on Christ, they don't believe it's everlasting life, they're not going to heaven. Is that right?
Yep.
Does the Anglican Church teach salvation by faith alone?
No.
Yes or no?
No?
He was an archbishop. Do you think he was a leader in that church?
Yes.
Do you think as the archbishop, he should know the right way of salvation?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's not what he believed. So if he believed that way, you know, he wouldn't be an archbishop of the Anglican Church.
Right.
He'd be a Bible-believing Baptist or, you know, a Bible-believing Christian. John 3:36, skip down to the bottom, the last verse there, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That means you have it right now while you believe it. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
Amen.
So if there's people that are walking around right now that the wrath of God is abiding on them. Why? Because they have not believed.
Amen.
The number one reason why anybody goes to hell is because they don't believe in the name of the Son of God.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
You agree with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's move on to the next point. Point number two, Desmond Tutu was a false prophet. He was a false prophet. Now, if you don't believe in the right salvation, then what does that mean? If you're preaching a different kind of salvation, what does that make you? Paul said, let them be accursed. Did he not? He said, let them be accursed if they preach another gospel. And he said, just in case you thought I stuttered, let me say it again. So look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Now, there's people out there that they think that a false prophet could actually get somebody saved. But the Bible does not teach that at all. They can't even accidentally get somebody saved.
Right.
They are a false tree. They're corrupt fruit. They cannot bring forth good fruit. Only a good tree, only a saved person can bring forth another saved person. Now, I don't know where Manly Perry got his doctrine from, but where Judas was the greatest soul winner out of all the apostles, but that's hogwash, folks. That is not true. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So Jesus is just laying this out really simply so we can understand it. But you know, people that are going to hell, they always misinterpret these verses, don't they?
Yeah.
They always misinterpret them. Look at verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So if someone's they say they're a prophet or they're a preacher or a Bible teacher, and everybody that's underneath them, everybody that follows them is unsaved, wouldn't you say that that makes that bad fruit?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So if Desmond Tutu's fruit is a bunch of other unsaved people, wouldn't that make him a false prophet?
Yeah.
Yes, it would. So it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? This is the answer we get every time someone says that they have done all these great works and they preach in his name. How many times have you knocked on a pastor's door from some false denomination and they're like, well, I preach in his name. I've done many wonderful works.
Yep.
How dare you ask a former pastor whether he was saved or not? It's like, you're a woman. What are you talking about? Look at your hair. No, I'm just kidding. Then I will profess unto them. What's he professing to them? I never knew you.
Right.
I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, if you do a study on the workers of iniquity, and actually in Luke, the parallel passage to this calls them workers of iniquity. Mm-hmm. You workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity are those people that are always bad in the scriptures. There's never a positive thing where they get saved.
Right.
The workers of iniquity are these false prophets, these tares among the wheat, these types of wicked people. It says that he never knew them. So they don't get saved. And then the people are like, well, Billy Graham used to get people saved a long time ago. No, he never got people saved.
Nope.
People will comment on my YouTube and say, Billy Graham's got more people saved than you. Even if I only had one salvation ever in my whole life recorded, I still got more people saved than Billy Graham. Because Billy Graham didn't get a single person saved.
Right.
And people are like, how could this be? He filled stadiums. You're just jealous of him. Well, number one, that'd be envious. You're using your words wrongly. But I'm not. Why would I be jealous of someone that's in hell?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be envious of someone that's in hell. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. Now, Jesus warned us. The Apostle Paul warned us. The Bible warns us over and over and over again about these false prophets and these false teachers. Why? Because people can start to feel bad for them. People can start to think that they're good. And people that are unsaved can be duped by them very easily.
Yep.
Jesus said this in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. What does it say? Many false prophets, not just a few. Many. So do you think that there's more false prophets than there are right ones?
Yeah.
Absolutely there are. If there's few people to be saved, there's few saved pastors.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
You're like, well, you're saying you're the only saved pastor. I didn't say that. I just said in comparison to the rest of them, most of the other teachers are false teachers, false prophets.
Yeah.
It says, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. So they're the worst kind of scum. Because here's what they're doing. They're taking someone and making them twofold more the child of hell than they are themselves.
Yep, right.
They're making sure that that person doesn't get saved just like they are not saved.
Right.
They are sons of the devil. They are children of Belial. These people are scum on the face of the earth.
Amen.
And people, you know, are like, oh, Desmond Tutu, why are you talking about him? Because he's in hell.
Yep.
And people need to understand that most of these prophets are not for us. They're against us. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They're against our God.
Yep.
They're against our Lord. They might have the big Flavor Flav cross. And the reason why I say that is because these kind of archbishops and Catholic monks and stuff have these wizard outfits that they wear.
Yeah.
And these big long dresses and stuff. And they got the giant golden crosses on there. And the big head things on there with the fish on them or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? They're the archbishop, they have, you know what, they look like Tutankhamun or whatever. With them.
Yeah.
It's weird looking, but you know, people think that, oh, they're holy because they're dressed in a wizard outfit or whatever. It's like, no, that just shows they're false prophets.
Yep. Yeah.
Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. One more page over. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So what's Peter talking about? He's talking about back in the day, back in the Old Testament, there was these false prophets also among the people. So they're amongst other Christians, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Present time. So there's false teachers among us right now. It says, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Now, heresy is just something that's not true. It's not biblical. It's something that people, like, it's like the pre-trib rapture. It's heresy, but it's not damnable heresy.
Right.
There's a difference between heresy and damnable heresy.
Yeah.
Now, any heresy is wrong, but damnable heresy is something that they're teaching that just proves that they're not saved. It's just a total... If you believe it, basically, you're not saved. It's like oneness.
Right.
It's like, what would be another example? Anybody got another example? Oneness.
Lordship salvation.
Repent of your sins for salvation. Any kind of false salvation, you could lose eternal life, which that doesn't even make sense. Like, just on a basic level, that doesn't make sense because it's all for all eternity, but... Somehow they get people to believe that you can lose this eternal life. So Peter's just saying that there's all these false teachers. Just like there was false prophets then, there's going to be false teachers now who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. All right? And it says, and even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So people will speak evil about the way of truth because of these types of people.
Yep.
And it says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, that means fake words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. See, it's talking about them being judged. It's talking about them having damnation upon them. When you're damned, you're going to hell. That's what it's talking about.
Yeah.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So he cast the angels down to hell, right? And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the worlds of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should live ungodly. So Sodom and Gomorrah was a picture for us to show what God thinks about sodomy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Now people say it was because they were being inhospitable and that's the reason why God really killed them. Look, that was the start of it. But it said they committed abominations. That's why God rained up fire and brimstone upon them and destroyed them from off the face of the planet. And look, you can still see that judgment today. You know, you don't see a lot of documentaries about that, do you? You see a lot of documentaries about a lot of other dumb things. But about that, it's like, they're just silent on that.
Right.
Isn't it funny how the universities around the world won't go do a story about Sodom and Gomorrah because they just don't want you to see the truth about what that place really looks like still to this day?
Right, yeah.
It's pretty funny, huh? So they want to push their sodomy. Look at Jude, verse 7. This is kind of a parallel to 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth an example suffering the vengeance of, what's it say? Eternal fire. So look, there's people that are even judged with eternal fire on this earth, in a normal earth. God just said, you know what? I'm going to throw eternal fire on them. And that's what was cast down upon them. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. You know, this is Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, right? What is it? Monday is going to be, you know, the big day where everybody celebrates what he did for everybody. But you know what? He was a false prophet too. He was a filthy dreamer. And he was a vile person. He was a serial adulterer and a homosexual. And he, you know, he definitely, you know, he had this guise of helping people. But really, he was just he denied the virgin birth. That's a damnable heresy. To deny the virgin birth. He was a vile person. And so, you know, this weekend is like to commemorate a false prophet. That's how far down the line we've gone. You know, and just like we lift up Martin Luther King in our country, I don't know if it's a big thing in Canada or not, but you know, I'm sure that South Africa is probably going to have a Desmond Tutu Day pretty soon, I'm sure. But just because he helped, you know, with some things to do something that was maybe right, doesn't mean that he wasn't a false prophet. Now, Jude 1:9 says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things which they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So this is what I was talking about. These people are actually on our planet. They're here. They're alive somewhat. But they're just monsters in reality. They're just waiting to trap the next person in their snare that they can to get them to not believe. It says they're twice dead. They're already dead while they're alive. They're already destined to go straight to hell. It says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Unless they get saved, right? Does it say unless they get saved right there? Unless on their deathbed they say, I turn to God. That's not what happens. The Bible never says that. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. See, God's going to bring all that to judgment. These ungodly sinners, these speeches that they say against God, knowing he's not going to say anything back from heaven right now. They're just storing up this destruction upon themselves. Excuse me. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. These people have advantages in this world because the devil gives them an advantage. If you'll work for him, guess what? If you just bow down and worship him, he'll give you all of your heart's desire. And a lot of people take that deal. Because a lot of people, he offered the deal to Jesus, did he not? And he rejected him. And he broke him off of scripture, didn't he? So there's a lot of people out there, and they might look like a normal person, but inside them, they're ravening wolves. They are false sheep. So number three, he preached a social justice warrior and race-baiting mentality. A social justice warrior and race-baiting mentality. And you all know what that is right now. Basically, what's happened is white people are now the devil. All right? And look, I know there's been a lot of disadvantages with people of color. I understand that. But here's what I'm saying. It's not right to just change that from one group to the other. Okay? So it's not right to say, okay, well, since we were treated badly, now let's treat everybody else badly that's not the same color as we are. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's still racism. And I don't know about you, but I never owned any slaves. My dad didn't own any slaves. My grandpa didn't own any slaves. And as far as I know, his dad didn't own any slaves. I know this is getting kind of quiet in here. I know it's just like, it's hard to talk about this stuff in public because people just get so upset about it. But look, as a pastor, as a man of God, and in a church where I know that there's not racist people in this room, hopefully, it's a stupid doctrine. It's a stupid belief. It's just something to make people fight. And it's just another way to make wars happen and all these other things. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 24. I'll show you what we believe as a church when it comes to this. And I'm just saying, now, maybe he did do some good things when it came to apartheid. I don't really know all the details. I didn't, like, study. I didn't read a book about him or anything. But I know he was a contemporary of Nelson Mandela. And I'm not even saying Nelson Mandela was a good guy. I don't really know much about him, but I've heard stories that maybe he wasn't that great either. I know his wife was a murderer and had murderers working for her. All it did is change hands, and then the bad people that people considered bad then turned against those people, and now they're bad. So in South Africa, white people that own like a farm or something, if you're black, you can just go and steal that and kill everybody there. It happens. We know people that move there, and like we try to warn them, and we're like, don't go. We know people from South Africa that live here. I know a pastor in South Africa. I said, tell them not to come here. And they're like, well, they don't have chemtrails in South Africa, so we're going to move there. They don't have forced vaccinations in South Africa. I mean, how do you actually believe that? You really think there's no forced vaccinations in South Africa? Anyway, the last time I heard from them, they're running, making YouTube or Facebook videos of how they're running away from the property that they bought because people are trying to kill them. And all I'm just saying is this, is that South Africa has changed. All they've done is just now the black people there are making all the white people bad, which not all white people are bad. Not all black people are bad. We're all the same race, the human race. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Of one blood all nations.
Yep.
Amen. If everybody in here cut their finger right now, what color would it be? Red, because we're all of one blood. We all bleed the same color. We all bleed red, right? Doesn't matter what color your skin is. So God, we're all related. If you think about it, way back down the line, we're all still related to each other.
Yeah.
We're still all children of Adam and Eve, children of Noah and his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. That's what the Bible teaches. And it says, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So, like I said, Desmond Tutu was like involved in the apartheid and all this social justice warrior stuff. And that's kind of where we're at now. It's basically, if you're white, you're scum, and you have no future in this country. That's basically what is being taught in schools. You know, if you have your kids in public school, you need to take them out.
Amen.
I don't know if this is going on in Canada. Is this going on in Canada's teaching? Yeah, it's going on all over the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, trading one racist and being racist against another, you know, race, which we don't even believe in, but it's still wrong. I don't understand how they would say that it's right to just be racist against white people now. Why don't we just stop being racist in general?
Amen.
That sounds like a better idea. Turn to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" So does he like white people more than black people?
No.
Or black people more than white people? Or Jewish or whatever, Middle Eastern, whatever color of skin or whatever background you come from? It says he's not a respecter of persons. No respecter of persons.
Yeah.
"But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him."
Yeah.
Everyone. It doesn't matter what culture you're from, what country you're from, what color or pigment your skin is. Doesn't mean anything. So why don't we just teach real racial equality? Just say, hey, as long as you are righteous, you're accepted with God.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the last point here. Point number 4, this is my longest point, though. Oh, Brother Wynn, I don't know if we're going to be able to get this done. 3:30, is that what he said? He's got, like, eyes painted on his eyelids right now. I'm just kidding. All right. So, number 4, he preached the gospel of sodomy and filth. He preached the gospel. Desmond Tutu preached the gospel of sodomy and filth. Remember when I told you to remember back to whatever you say? Remember the things you say, that shows what you believe, right?
Right.
Look at this is what he said. This is a direct quote from Desmond Tutu. "I would refuse to go to a homophobic heaven. No, I would say sorry. I mean, I would much rather go to the other place. I would not worship God who is a God who is homophobic. And that is how deeply I feel about this. I am as passionate about this campaign as I ever was about apartheid. For me, it is the same level." He's talking about sodomites having equality with other normal human beings, right? This is Desmond Tutu in 2013. So would you say that someone that said that is saved?
No.
Would you say be careful what you wish for because you might just get it? He said he would refuse to go to a homophobic heaven. Do you think God's just like, "No, Desmond, please don't. We want you here so badly." He said, "I'd rather go to the other place." You know, isn't it funny how sometimes, like, you'll be talking to me, "Well, where's the Bible say you go if you don't believe?" And they're like, they don't want to cut. They think it's cussing to say hell. So this guy here, he doesn't even say hell. He just says the other place. Like, it's okay to be a faggot, but, you know, don't say the other place's actual name, right? Revelation chapter 14. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 14. Sorry for saying the F word there. We're in America. This is America. Rest easy, Canadians. Rest easy. All right. They're not going to ship you off to the camps just yet. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in their forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." So what is the point of me reading these scriptures? Well, you know, you're going to be, regardless of whether you want to be in a homophobic heaven or not, you're going to be in the homophobic hell too, because God is going to be the one that's fanning the flames down there. He's yep. still going to, you're still going to be in the presence of the Lamb,
right.
Either place you go.
Right, yeah.
It's like, so you're in homophobic hell with all the homos. Have fun.
Right, right.
Now, his charge would be against God, because he's charging God in that statement, is he not?
Yep.
He's calling God a homophobe.
Yeah.
The God of the Bible.
Right.
See, that's why I said he doesn't believe. That's why he's going to hell, because nobody that believes would say this about God.
Right. Right.
Anybody that knows the Bible or reads the Bible, and, you know, just correct me if I'm wrong, if you are some leader, an archbishop is a high-up leader in the Anglican Church, okay? Don't you think that, you know, I mean, I know I'm suspending reality right now for a second. Don't you think they should know the Bible?
Yeah.
Don't you think they should know what the Bible says?
Right.
They've probably heard some of these verses, but let's turn to Leviticus 18:22. We're in America. We can do that. Leviticus 18:22. Here's the God that he's maligning right here. Because does God like homos? He doesn't. It says, thou shalt not, Leviticus 18:22. I'll let you get there because we're going to have some close next together scriptures anyhow. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. So is God, not? Does he like homos or not?
No.
He hates them. They're an abomination. That means it's something he detests. Right. He hates with all his being. Turn to Leviticus 20:13. We'll just go down the line here. Now, obviously, if I had time, I would just show a whole bunch more scriptures, but I'm just going to show you a couple more here. Leviticus 20:13, this is the one where we really get a lot of flack over that we preach. But is it in the Bible?
Yes. Yeah.
Then it's God's word.
Yeah.
It's what God believes.
Yeah.
God is telling us what he believes and what we're supposed to believe as Christians.
Yeah. Yeah.
If a man lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. It is a death penalty situation. It's Amen. Like being a serial killer. It's like being a murderer. It's like being a kidnapper. It's like being a rapist. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Desmond Tutu doesn't like this God. And he said, I would rather go, instead of going to homophobe heaven, I'd rather go to the other place. He means hell.
Yeah.
He'd rather go to hell than believe in the God of the Bible.
Right.
And guess what? The God of the Bible is the judge of heaven and of earth.
Yep.
And he trumps all their gods. All the other gods are idols. All the other gods are false gods. They're devils. So he doesn't believe in the right God, does he?
Nope.
Look at Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Now this is talking about transvestites, basically. People that would wear, you know, men's clothing that are women, or women wearing men's clothing. Look at Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. It says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. And I made a challenge to my church on Thursday night. I said, if I ever walk into church wearing a dress, I give you permission to get up, anybody that's armed, and shoot me dead in the middle of the service. I'm not joking. Unless I blink twice. And that means that they have my family hostage somewhere. And that... That would be the only case, okay? Then it was against my will, all right? But seriously, I mean, it's just sick.
Yeah,
and we have to look at these freaks every time.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's like they just love going to, you know, restaurants and things like that so they can just show how freaky they are to other people's children.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's gotten to the point where DoorDash is becoming the number one restaurant because nobody wants to see that garbage.
Right.
You know, and then if they start bringing it to the door, that's going to get even worse. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to just walk around like a horse with those things on the, what are those called?
Blinders,
yeah. Blinders, and then, you know, I don't know, maybe walk with a virtual thing on your eyes so you don't have to actually see people with your eyeballs. Here's some other things about Desmond Tutu, just in this last point. So post-apartheid, Tutu's status as a gay rights activist kept him in the public eye more than any other issue facing the Anglican Church. Tutu regarded discrimination against homosexuals as being the equivalent to discrimination against black people and women. And see, if I was black, that would make me mad.
Yeah.
If I was a woman, that would make me mad.
Amen.
Because they're acting like, you know, being a homo is the equivalent to being black. I mean, I'd be offended, honestly. It says, and his views on this became widely known through his speeches and sermons, after the 1998 Lambeth Conference of Bishops reaffirmed the church's opposition to same-sex acts. Tutu wrote to Archbishop of Canterbury, George Carey, stating, I am ashamed to be an Anglican. That's what I mean when I say he's so liberal that even he was like a right-wing fundamentalist you know, they're a right-wing fundamentalist compared to him. I mean, because the Anglican Church isn't really known for being like, you know, super hardcore on the Bible or anything. But he says, I'm ashamed to be an Anglican. You know, because some Anglicans did think it was weird and wicked. And there was like a big split over all that. It says he regarded Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, as too accommodating of conservatives who wanted to eject various American and Canadian Anglican churches from the Anglican Communion after they expressed the pro-LGBT right stance. Tutu expressed the view that if these conservatives disliked the inclusiveness of the Anglican Communion, they always had the freedom to leave. No, how about you leave?
Yeah.
That's probably what they were thinking. Like, no, why don't you leave, freak? Why don't you start your own denomination of queer churches or something? Mm-hmm. Tutu accused the church of being obsessed with homosexuality. Well, maybe just obsessed with keeping them out.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's what most normal people want to do. It says, it's kind of re-quoting what he said. If God, as they say, is homophobic, I wouldn't worship that God. Well, I already read you the verses that said what God thinks about sodomy.
Mm-hmm.
In 2011, he called on the Anglican Church of the Southern Africa to accept the conduct of same-sex marriages. You see how one person doing wickedly can change the hearts of one nation?
Right. Yeah.
This is him changing the hearts of the South African people.
Yeah.
And now they are known as Destination, you know, San Francisco when it comes to sodomy and most Africans do not like sodomy. I've watched interviews where the leaders are like, of course they're disgusting, you know, you just like talking crap about them. I think it's funny, but I was like, yeah, go. All right, Uganda. All right. But it says Tutu maintained an interest in social issues, and in July 2014, he came out in support of legalized assisted dying, which is like assisted suicide, right? Later stating that he would want that option open to him personally. I bet he would. I bet he'd like to go easy, right? In December 2015, Tutu's daughter, Mfo Tutu, married a woman in the Netherlands. Tutu attended and gave the proceedings a blessing despite Anglican opposition to same-sex marriage. So even his own denomination, which isn't even saved, condemned him giving the blessing and performing the wedding of his sodomite daughter. You know, the scripture came to mind to me is all that hate me love death.
Yeah.
You know, he's down for all the stuff that God is against, right? Tutu continued commenting on international affairs. In November 2012, he published a letter alongside Marie McGuire and Adolfo Perez Esquivel, in which they expressed support for the imprisoned U.S. military whistleblower Chelsea Manning. Now, Chelsea isn't the real name of that person, is it? It's the spy that went and found, like, I don't know, he was some spy that like gave up a whole bunch of information. What was the real name? Is it Andrew Manning? Or am I thinking of somebody? Do you know who I'm talking about? He was like a spy. Was it Andrew Manning? Or it's not Chelsea, because Chelsea used to be a dude and had like a transvestite transformation.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry I don't know the real name, because, you know, if you're born a man, you're still a man.
Yeah.
Period. Tutu died from prostate cancer at the Oasis Frail Care Center in Cape Town on the 26th of December 2021 at the age of 90. His daughter, Naomi Nontombi, I think I'm saying that right, said he was ready. He went to meet his God, ready and willing. He might have been ready, but at the time when it happened, I'm sure he wasn't willing. He went. Isn't that an interesting choice of words? He went to meet his God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he never claimed that God as his God, but you know what? He went to meet him nonetheless.
Yep.
You know, it's right. A point on the man wants to die, and after this, the judgment, the Bible says. Turn to Amos chapter 4, verse 11. Amos chapter 4. Verse 11. The Bible says in Amos 4:11, it says, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. He's not saying that in a positive way. So it's pretty funny when he says he was ready. He went to meet his God. Well, he sure did. So, you know, while I'm unloading this truck, there's some honorable mentions I want to give before I end this sermon of people that also died and went to hell this year. Stuart Rasmussen was the first transvestite mayor in the country. And guess where he was from? Where was he from? Huh? Anybody know? I think it was Oregon. It was like Silver Falls, Oregon or something like that. Was that Silverton, Oregon? That's what it was. Total tranny. And got elected as the mayor. And of course, it's in Oregon, right? So, first open tranny mayor. Bob Saget just died and went to hell just recently. So you're like, well, how dare you say that about the America's Funniest Home Video guy and the guy that was on, like, what was the show he was on that was Full House? Yeah. I know you fans out there were watching it. He was a sick person.
Yeah.
He really was. Like, I can't say for sure what he did, but I just know the communication that came out of his mouth was some of the most vile and filthy stuff I've ever heard.
That's right.
And he did some kind of eulogy for Betty White, who I also think died and went to hell just recently. She was like 99, like a week away from being 100. You're like, how dare you talk about Betty White like that? Check out what she believed.
Yep, right.
That's all you have to do. DMX died and went to hell. You're like, DMX, he was a Christian rapper. What are you talking about? Have you ever listened to any of his songs? Now, I got to give him props. There's one song that I did like that he did. I can't repeat the lyrics in here right now, but there was, at least he didn't like homos. But anyway, Prince Philip, last year, it was a tragic loss, died and went to hell. Rush Limbaugh, I think he was an Anglican too. So I know, it's stepping on some conservative toes in here. Larry Flint died and went to hell this year. And he was like a free speech person that was for the worst smut and filth, that started Penthouse magazine. I think somebody shot him. He was crippled for the rest of his life. It was against all the stuff he was doing. I wonder if God was upset about that. I don't think so. But anyway, and then, you know, the last but not least, Siegfried joined Roy in hell. Okay? So those are my unhonorable dissensions. So I know there's probably more. I know you're going to come. Just come with me with the list and just let me know. But I can't preach a sermon on every single one of these people. I just can't do it. So I've been trying to compact them now and do them very far and few in between. So what's the conclusion to this sermon? Well, how is this edifying, Pastor Thompson? How is it edifying to sit there and tell how these people are roasting in hell or burning in hell? Well, I'll tell you what, it's a warning. It's a warning. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 12, or verse 2, excuse me. Ezekiel 33, verse 2. I'll try to rifle through these real quick. Why do I preach sermons like this? Because people need to know the truth.
Yeah.
Is anybody else out there preaching why Desmond Tutu is burning in hell? There isn't. There might be mentions of it in a sermon here or there, but like, hey, at least people know where we stand. If you like that freak, don't come to our church.
Yeah.
If you agree with what that freak agreed with, don't come to our church.
Amen.
Hey, I'd rather just have it blasted all over, like, you know, a billboard, everything that we believe. And that way we would not have freaks come to our church.
Amen.
I like it when they see sermons of ours and they like come and give us a 1-star on Google and say, hey, don't go here. These people, you know, they don't like homosexuals. Ding. Yeah, look at that review. So Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 2, it says, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. And whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heareth the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Now, I realize that this is probably in context talking about people saving their own lives and things like that. But I mean, if you get the spiritual application of it, the man of God is supposed to get up like a trumpet and blast and tell people what's up.
Right.
Tell people what's going on. Tell people the truth about people like this sodomite-loving freak.
Amen. Right.
And you know, if some people take warning, they're like, hey, I'm going to stay far away from anything about this. Hey, this opened up my eyes. And then they take heed and they take warning and they stay away from stuff like that. That's good for them.
Yeah.
It says, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So when I don't get up and preach stuff like this and rip and scream and froth at the mouth, then I have to do that. It's part of my job. It's not the fun part of my job. I mean, sometimes it is, but I'm just saying, like, I'm a peaceful person. You know, there's some things that I preach that are hard for me to preach. And, you know, telling how someone guy's roasting in hell isn't exactly the easiest thing to get up and tell people. I don't know how people are going to react to it.
Right.
But I know how some people react to it.
Yeah.
Some people react to it like, I didn't get edified at all. Well, just come to the other sermons and get edified at those then. It says, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. Who am I warning with? God's words, right? Warn them from me.
Yep.
This is God's word. Okay? It's the watchman's job to get up and say what needs to be said.
Mm-hmm.
When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. There's a lot of preachers out there today that will get up, but they will not preach stuff like this.
Yep.
And you know why? Because they're afraid. Because they're afraid of the backlash of it. They're afraid that they're going to lose people. They're afraid that people are going to stop tithing and leave the church or whatever. But you know what? That should be the last thing. If you want to be a pastor someday, don't ever think like that.
Amen.
Think, I need to preach everything. I need to put it all on the table and let the chips fall where they may.
Amen.
It says, nevertheless, thou warn that wicked of his way, and he turned from it. If he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. If I don't do it, go require it at my hands. So God expects his watchmen to get up and say something. Turn to Isaiah 62, verse 6. Got two more places we'll turn and we're done. I'll be right on time. 45-minute fellowship. Wrap it up. Let's go. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Isaiah 62, verse 6. Actually, there's three more spots. Anyway, sorry. Okay. I have set watchmen upon thy walls of Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Yet that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So while there's watchmen on the wall, their job is to never hold their peace day or night. Now, if you compare that was a job. You know, people had to watch for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what, you know, being a preacher of the Bible is like. You're supposed to warn people when the bad stuff is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Warn people of the false doctrine. Warn people of the bad people. And then admonish and exhort people to do right. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Now, people do get upset when I preach stuff like this. I guarantee you there's going to be people mad about it and secretly mad and never say anything or whatever. But I'm just saying this, that it's my job as a pastor to do this.
Amen.
And I just wanted Kennedy to get in on some of this action, you know, get in some of this persecution with us, right?
Yeah.
And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. See, Paul got up and he taught everything that he was supposed to teach, didn't he?
Amen.
He didn't hold back anything. He preached the whole counsel of God. Look at verse 25. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take unto you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul got up and he was he guilty of moving against the church? Yes, he was. But you know, at the end of the day, when he was all said and done, he was able to say, you know what? I'm pure from the blood of all men.
Right.
Because he got up and preached what needed to be preached. He preached the gospel and he preached the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
It says right there in verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That means everything from Genesis to, I don't know if Revelation was in there yet, but everything that Paul had, everything that he knew at that time, he preached to them and didn't hold anything back.
Amen.
And you know what? He said, I'm pure from the blood of all men. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves, verse 28, and to all the flock over which God, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Why is it so important to feed the church? What did he tell Peter? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. That's the purpose of a pastor and a shepherd is to feed the sheep. Good night. All right. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Listen, the Apostle Paul, you're like, you preach about this stuff too much, Pastor Thompson. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, men shall arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Does that sound like a watchman on the wall? Night and day without tears or with tears? Paul cared about the people, and you know what? He got up and warned them all the time. He got up and wept and said, hey, the wolves are going to come in from and not spare the flock. And so you're telling me that I shouldn't be preaching this stuff? Maybe I'm not preaching it enough. Because wolves still seem to work their way in, don't they?
Yeah.
And people still seem to be deceiving and traitors and just betraying us all the time. But I'm not supposed to get up and preach this? Why? The Apostle Paul got to preach it. Oh, you're not the Apostle Paul. I never said I was. But I want to be like the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
I want to preach everything that I'm supposed to preach. You know what? We're supposed to warn people. Get up here and try to tell me. Come up after the service and tell me it's not my job to warn people.
Right.
You're a liar. You're lying to yourself or someone's lying to you.
Yep.
Right. Last scripture. This is really for real. The last scripture. We're done. We got 4 minutes. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I just don't understand where, you know, people just come up with this stuff. But it's just usually it's because the people are just weak. They can't handle it. They just don't understand what biblical Christianity is all about, and that we do go through a lot of stuff.
Right.
And we have to preach this stuff because it's a reality in our churches. It's a reality that people will rise up. I mean, Brother Wynn, how many people did you have to kick out? They can't even count. You see? Because people, yeah, he had to kick out a lot of people, didn't he? You know why? Because some people just creep in and want to try to destroy the church. And they thought, well, we're going to pick on Brother Wynn. See how he does. He was like, Second Timothy chapter, and people think he's mean. He's mean. No, he's not mean. He's just trying to protect y'all. That's what he's doing. And now we got, you know, there's a great church up here.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Look, this is talking about the end times churches. This is talking about churches after Paul. And he's saying, I charge you. Preach the word. Have I preached the Bible to you tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Is some of the stuff I've said, is it out of season right now?
No.
It is. is. It's not popular. But at the same time, it is in season. It's in season for God's people because this has to be preached because it's not being preached. It is in season for us. It's out of season for the world. It's out of season for weak Christianity. But you know what? It's always hunting season for me for false prophets and wolves. I got a permanent hunting tag for that. And I'm going to exercise the right that God gave me over the dominion of the animals to go after the wolves whenever I feel like it.
Amen.
So it's both. And you know, there's people that don't want me to preach this way. And, you know, if God's happy with it, though, that's all I care about. Yeah, if you all walk out of here and go, I'm sick of Pastor Thompson and his burning in hell sermons. Well, go back to the old life me then. Have fun.
Right.
You want to swallow a camel and choke on a gnat? Well, go ahead. You know, go swallow their camel of repent of your sins. Right. Go swallow their camel of lordship salvation. Go swallow their camel of, you know, just whatever they come up with, this is garbage doctrine. Go swallow that camel and choke on the gnat of Pastor Thompson hurt my feelings because he talked about people going to hell. Pastor Thompson warned me about false prophets. He's so mean. No, I'm loving. I want to be the watchman on the wall. And I hope you all appreciate that, that someone will get up and say something. Obviously, I have some pastor friends who will get up and say the exact same things that I've said today.
Yeah.
And I thank God for them. You know, there's few and far in between that will get up and preach about stuff like this.
Right.
You know, I hope Desmond Tutu wasn't your hero that I stamped today, because he's burning in hell. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great gathering of our people. I pray, Lord, you'd help us all get home safely tonight. And Lord, those that are tired, I pray that you just give them rest. And Lord, that we'd all be in your house tomorrow bright and early for church services tomorrow. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless each and every single person that came here today. And just appreciate Brother Wynn and Miss Queenie and everybody that helped bring all the stuff here and all the organization it took to do this. Just want to thank everybody for being supportive of our church here. And just pray that your blessings upon them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, if you please stand with me, we'll close with one hymn. Hymn number 453. The touch of his hand on mine, 453.
Touch of
Pray that you'd all make it home safely. Brother Levy, would you close in prayer?
Dismissed.